Well, hello. Hi, Mark.
Good evening. Evening, Barry. Evening, everybody.
How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, thank you. Yes, doing well.
You
a good week after a busy weekend.
Well, yes. Can you maybe let us know what exactly happened on for your busy weekend?
Well, on Saturday, our son got married to his sweetheart Alice, John and Alice. So we had the wedding ceremony on Saturday. Lovely occasion, really just a special day. Great day. Very family, actually. Quite small, but really just a family. Because it was just family. It was really just two families and very few friends, but really just great time and lovely celebration for them. So, yeah, like with all these weddings, you know, they're great fun. They're thoroughly enjoyable, but there's actually a lot of hard work that goes into them. Yeah. So we were setting up on Friday and then clearing up on Sunday. Mm. But, you know, Alice had really done everything. The detail was just superb. Everything had been thought through and was just beautiful and very artistic and creative. And yeah, so that was a great, really good celebration. Yeah, loved it.
Well, congratulations and high fives from everybody who's watching. If you want to put hearts in your comments or anything else, just to cheer on Mark and Fiona and John and Alice. That's fantastic. It's we've had two out of the three, so we've you're at two as well, right?
Two out of the four, yeah.
Two out of four, though. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Oh, look at the hearts! So. I see all the hearts coming. So everybody's cheering you on, mate.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great. Yeah. So what about you? You had a busy weekend as well.
Yes, actually. Anne and I went to Montreal, and that's just in the province next to us in Canada, French speaking. So it was translated. And I had a Father Heart conference there, second time there in the last few months, and just open hearts, and just it was great. So
brilliant.
One of the things, I'm not sure how it is in the UK, but in Canada, we're a bilingual country. So, French is our second language. It's my second language, but it's equal French and English. And I learned it in school, right? In high school for a couple of years, but you know, it's one of those things that if you don't use it, you know, then you just forget it. So it was taking me, the longer the weekend went, the more that phrases came back to me about, you know, so I was trying to impress everybody with, but you know, again, you have to be careful when you meet somebody. If you say something in French, they just may assume that you know more than you do. So I had to be careful. Yes.
And of course, Montreal is French speaking, isn't it?
Yeah. It's French speaking. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of, Anglophones as well, the Francophones and Anglophones, but primarily in Quebec, all of the signs and everything are French. There's no English, as far as like traffic signs and all those things. So it's very much, you know, immersed in a French. And of course, our friends speak English, so you know we were fine with, so we were able to communicate okay. But I kind of felt bad that I should polish up my French next time. Yeah.
No.
So what are we talking about tonight, mate?
Well, I think we're talking about being in Christ, and yes. I think you're kicking it off, and then we'll see where we go with it. Yeah. huge topic, but it should be good.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Before we start, can you maybe just open in prayer, then we'll see where we go?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you, Father, for your presence once again. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we're your children. Mm-hmm. And thank you that as sons and daughters, we really are in Christ.
Yeah.
Father, help us just to unpack the enormity of that this evening and to just get a bigger glimpse of what that means in all its fullness. Mm-hmm. Father, just help us to see with the eyes of our heart our true position in you, that as sons and daughters we are hidden in Christ. And Father, may this just do our hearts good, that our true identity, who we really are, is so contained in you. Mm-hmm. That our true identity is not what we do or what people think of us or what we have, but our true identity is in you, mm-hmm. as your children. And I pray, Father, you just take us deeper tonight, mm-hmm. today, into that revelation of who we are, mm-hmm. that we would not look for value from other people or other things, but we would find our true value in you. Mm-hmm. So, Father, just pray for Barry as he kicks it off, that you'd lead him, you'd speak through him. And, just be with us all. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, mate. And I'll see you in a bit.
Sure.
So, we're talking about in Christ, and as Mark said, it's a pretty big topic. It's kind of like describing the indescribable, I think, you know, how do we unpack such an enormous topic? But I said to Mark that, you know, I'll give it a go. All I want to do really to kick it off is share an experience that I had a couple weeks ago. And then we'll just have a conversation about it. And we had some dear friends from Australia visiting us, Norman and Susanna, and, they're just lovely encouragers, and they have been, I guess part of the passion of their own ministry is in their own life is to be able to, kind of enter into a deeper kind of revelation through even imagination about what the kingdom of God is like. And so they were with Ann and I, and we were going to have like an activation at our house. You know, they were going to say, and it was just so beautiful, and it was so simple, and it was just so, you know, kind of setting our hearts at rest, you know, because it was like, okay, we're going to imagine. And like, and again, they were talking about how God has given us an imagination. You know, there's, you know, a godly imagination. You know, even in Ephesians 3, it says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, hope for, or imagine. Right. And so we were just having this time together. And, Norman just said, we want to just encourage you to imagine what it would be like or imagine being seated in heavenly places with Jesus. You know, it talks about that in Colossians and Ephesians. And he just said, you know, don't stress about it. Just relax and just, you know, just encouraged our spirits just to engage and be able to come into a place where we, could just see what that looks like. So he said, okay, stand up. So we stood up, and I was sitting in a chair that was, it's like an antique chair, and it has wooden arms, but then it's, you know, really cushioned. And so he said, okay, now stand up. Now, so sit down. And as you're sitting down, just ask God to help you by the Holy Spirit to imagine what it is like being seated in heavenly places, because the Bible says that we are, right? It says that we are to set our affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. So here, you know, in their biblical reality, we are on planet earth, yet at the same time, the Bible says that we are seated in the heavenly places as well. So there's this mystery in the spiritual realm. And so, you know, he was just encouraging us in that. So then when I sat down immediately, and it was like as soon as my arms touched the wooden arms of the chair, it was like I felt like I was actually sitting down on a throne. And then the most amazing thing happened was, again, it was like it was imagination. It wasn't like I was taken out of my body. It wasn't like a third heaven experience. I don't even know how to explain it other than it was like I could see, I could. My imagination was very active in that moment. And it was like I was actually in that moment in Christ. I was looking through his eyes. It wasn't like it was, you know, I've always, when I've imagined, you know, being seated, co-seated with Christ in heavenly places, that, you know, that Jesus has this big throne and I have this little, you know, tiny chair, you know, amongst, you know, millions of people. But in this particular experience, I was actually in Christ. I was looking through his eyes, and I was seeing what he was seeing, seated at the right hand of the Father. And the view was, it was like the sea of glass, just this humanity of people, just, and I couldn't even see individuals. I could just see like the sea of glass. And I was like, I was thinking like, wow, I am looking through Jesus' eyes, right? And then the most amazing thing started to happen in that moment. It was like, the only way I can explain it, and you know, and maybe for some countries you might not understand this, but in North America and Canada, the U.S., we have oftentimes we have these sports cards, and they're three-dimensional sports cards. So what it is, it's like two images on the sports card, right? And they're 3D. So if you just tilt the sports card a little bit, it changes the image. Then you tilt it back, and then it goes back to the other image. Then you just go like that, and it's like a three-dimensional imagery there. And the only thing that I could explain what was happening, it was like there was this shimmering happening, me being in Christ in this moment. And there were the shimmering that was happening. It was like, it was Jesus, and then it was me, and then it was Jesus with the shimmering. It was like the changing of the 3D sports card. It was like, and it was me. It was that we were just going back and forth in this beautiful, you know. And I again, it was just like, wow, this is really cool. And then I had the thought, what is the Father thinking about all this? And of course, you know, he was seated at Jesus' left hand, because Jesus was being on the right hand of the Father. And the Father, you know, when it was shimmering for Jesus, the Father had this absolute just joy and delight for his Son, just looking at him so proud and just so filled with love and joy. But the amazing thing is when the shimmering happened and it was me, the Father never changed his expression. He was still looking at me with this absolute, complete love and acceptance in the same way as he was looking at Jesus. And then as this continued, this encounter, then I began to see like the sea of humanity that was in heaven. They were experiencing the same shimmering experience with Jesus that I was. So it was like, as I was shimmering, it was Christ, then me, and Jesus, and me. It was like them and Jesus, and them, and it was going back and forth. That, and it was like, you know, countless millions of people were experiencing this all at the same time in Jesus, in Christ. But then it just kind of even went to another level where I realized that as they were having this shimmering kind of, you know, the 3D card, just Jesus in them, and you know, Jesus in them, them and Jesus, and just a reflection, everybody in Christ, I was experiencing a union with each one because of our union with Christ. And so it was like, again, it was just this amazing thing. It wasn't like I knew I was present in the room at home, but yet it somehow through my just simple imagining, you know, like a childlike heart, just imagining like a 5-year-old would, I suppose. It was like I was experiencing this really something I've never experienced before. And so there was this union that I was experiencing that was something. I felt like it imprinted on me. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it other than I've seen it. Like something in me has seen a spiritual reality that the Bible talks about. And, you know, one of the most amazing things that happened that I felt like the Lord say was, he just said that you can come up here anytime. So that was pretty cool that like I have access, you know, and of course this is all biblical stuff, right? We're not talking some wonky, weird theology. I mean, Hebrews says that we can boldly come before the throne of grace anytime we like to find mercy and help in our time of need, right? And, you know, and that even in Colossians 3, starting at verse 1, and I'm just going to read a couple scriptures. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And so it's just this amazing thing that, you know, I feel like I just wanted to share to kick off, because it's like there's something of, something that where you can see at a depth that, like, I don't know, that it, like I said, it imprinted on me that it's like, oh, you know, this is what it could look like, right? This is the union that I have with Jesus. Galatians 2:20, when Paul says that no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And then in the scripture that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then even the union, you know, like, you know, the high priestly prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17. And in verse 20, it says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. And may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And so it's just this, so when I had this encounter, it just really impacted me. And I feel like there is just something that has in my own being shifted, because it's like I've seen something of this mystery of being in Christ. And it's like being in Christ is actually in him. It's not like, you know, he's on a big throne and I'm on a little chair beside him. I am in him, and so are you. And that in our union with Jesus, and Jesus said, I and them, Father, you and me, has secured us union with the Father, and our union with Christ has secured us union with one another. So, you know, that's, you know, it's amazing. And so, I guess one of the things, you know, oftentimes when I share about this revelation of the Father heart of God, I always encourage people that we're not on a pursuit to try to get something like that, somehow as if we don't have something and we're trying to be loved or trying to be noticed by God. But it's actually having the eyes of our hearts opened, right, so that we can know the hope of our calling and the glorious inheritance that we have together with the saints. So it's not about us experiencing something we don't have. It's just like this awakening to this the spiritual reality of what it means to be on earth and yet in heaven. And you know, it was interesting when I was in Montreal and I was ministering the first night of the conference. I really felt that there was this substance of the Lord's Prayer, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it was this kind of this encounter I had. And again, the thing that I guess amazed me about it was simple. And it was just through my imagination. It wasn't like I wasn't trying to be. I always think of other friends of mine who, you know, who have a kind of a seer gift or a prophetic gift, and you know, they might see into the angelic realm, and I don't typically experience that. But this was just me being a little boy asking God to just bless my imagination, and then all of a sudden I experienced something I've never experienced before. And so I guess my prayer in this, even in when Mark and I talk about this today, and what does it actually mean to be in Christ and having Christ in us, you know, in 1 John it says, as he is, so are we in the world. And that when we begin to understand our union with Jesus is secured as our union with the Father by the Holy Spirit that lives in us, like I just to be able to say, you know, this is not intellectual, this is not theological, this is real, you know. And I had this beautiful glimpse of that, and it, again, like it's really affected me. And I guess one of the things, and I'll get Mark to come on in a second, but where Paul says in Corinthians that we fix our eyes on things unseen, not on things that are seen, for the things that are unseen are eternal, but the things that are seen are temporal. And so, and of course, Colossians 3, you know, fix your thoughts on things above, not on things of the earth. So maybe, is there, maybe even in this time together, whether people are listening live or afterwards, could it be possible that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, could help us all get a glimpse into a deeper realm of our union with Christ in a way that we've never seen before? And I just, you know, would encourage each and every one of you, you know, just ask the Father to breathe onto the imagination that He gave you. And it's nothing weird. It's not, it's just so simple. Just to ask the Father by His Holy Spirit to do that. And Ephesians 1:17 says, Paul's saying, I keep on asking the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that He might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know Him better. And then verse 18 says, so that your heart might be flooded with light, with the eyes of your heart might be open, so that you might know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that we have together with the saints. And so I guess for me, I just kind of felt in that moment, it was like the eyes of my heart were opened a little bit more than they've ever been. And I had a glimpse into something that is our birthright. It's our inheritance. It's our what Jesus secured for us, and we are joint heirs with Jesus. We're co-heirs with Him. So that's all I have to say. Now Mark can bring us home. I know he's amazing at all this stuff, and I'll just bring him back in.
Well, I don't know about that, Barry, but thank you. I mean, what a, you say you're not a seer. I mean, that's seeing something, really is. Do you know, this is such a big thing. I think I don't think we understand the enormity of what it means to be in Christ. Because I think if we did, we would be completely changed and transformed. Because I think this is just something for us to really grasp with our hearts. I looked it up today, Barry. The phrase in Christ, those two little words in Christ, it's about 150 times in the New Testament. Wow. Now, obviously, most of that is in Paul's letters because he wrote most of the New Testament. But it's actually something that originated, as Barry was saying, it originated with Jesus. And, you know, Jesus kind of, like he did with many things, he kind of throws something out. And then he leaves Paul to come along a few years later and unpack it all and explain it and give us, you know, a context and a framework. But, you know, it's in John chapter 14 when the disciples are all together and they're having, you know, their last meal together. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, I'm going to go and then I'm going to come back, and in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back and take you with me where I am. And, you know, you kind of think the disciples are just getting so confused by all of this. And, you know, Thomas goes, you know, oh, come on, Jesus, look, we haven't got a clue where you're going. And Jesus then says, you know, hey, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Philip kind of gets this revelation, like, oh, it's all about the Father. And Jesus's response to that is, you know, Jesus says, oh, from now on, you do know Him because you've seen Him. And Philip says, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Mm. And Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip, even though I've been amongst you for such a long time? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. You know, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Mm. See, Jesus makes that statement, you know, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. And what he's describing there is a relationship. You know, he's describing their eternal relationship of oneness, of unity, of delight. You know, it's like, you know, he's in me, I'm in him, we're so united, we're so together. And, you know, he's just saying, this is what it's been like for all of eternity. You know, we have been of one heart, of one purpose, of one mind. Mm-hmm. And it's a relationship. It's not something you work out through a formula. It's not something you learn and set of rules. It simply comes down to a relationship. Jesus is basically saying, my relationship with the Father is so close mm-hmm. that we are one. And you know what it's like? Sometimes you see a married couple who've been, you know, married for 50, 60 years, and they know what the other person is thinking. Mm-hmm. And they know what the other person would do, and they know where the other person would want to go. And they just have that, you know, having walked together for years, they know one another. And Jesus, you know, he doesn't just leave it there in John chapter 14. He goes on to say, you know, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come and, you know, I'm going to be with you. And then he says this, he says, you know, on that day, you will realize that I'm in the Father, but you are in me and I am in you. You see, so Jesus is saying, hey, guys, this relationship that I enjoy with the Father, you can enjoy with me. And through me, you can enjoy it with the Father. Yeah. I mean, when you read John chapter 14, it gets a little bit confusing as to who is in who. You know, the Father's in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father. We're in Jesus and Jesus is in us, and the Father's therefore in us and we're therefore in, you know, and you can kind of read it on a cerebral level and think, well, what does all of that mean? But what it simply means is that, you know, the relationship that Jesus has with his Father is the same relationship that we have with him. And I think that's where it becomes so huge. Yeah. Is that we don't fully grasp that. We don't fully realize that. We don't understand what that means. And as Barry was saying, that's where we need to see with the eyes of our heart. Mm-hmm. Because we can't intellectualize this. You know, we can't kind. I remember once I was in Uganda and somebody was trying to illustrate this. So they had the whiteboard and you know, they drew like a circle of, and they said, this circle is Jesus. And it says, Jesus is in the Father. So they drew a bigger circle round and said, you know, okay, that's Jesus and he's in the Father. And then it's like the Father's in Jesus. So they drew a smaller circle inside Jesus. And that was a Father as well. And then we got involved. And by the time they finished this diagram, it was just a mess. But what it, you know, you can look at it and think, that's a mess. Mm. Or you can look at it and think, actually, that is a picture of unity.
Yeah.
You know, we're so one together. And that's, I really, you know, believe that's the desire of the Father's heart, is that we grow in unity with him and oneness with him. Because that's what, you know, that's the heavenly reality, isn't it, Barry? Mm. You know, it says in Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. You know, that's how the Father sees us.
Yeah.
But very often it's not how we see ourselves. You know, we have this tension of living in a fallen world and the struggles and the trials and the tribulations and the pain of our heart and all that sort of stuff. But yet the Father sees us seated in heavenly places in Christ. Mm. And, you know, if we don't take anything else away from today, let's take that away. Mm. You know, how does the Father see you? You know what your day's been like today. Mm-hmm. You know what your week's been like. You know what your month has been like. You know what your year has been like. And you can perhaps feel a weight of all the burdens and all the stuff that's going on. And you can look at that and you can see yourself through that filter. But how does the Father see you? You know, what is the heavenly perspective? What is the heavenly reality? He sees you seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, as far as the Father's concerned, it's a done deal. Yeah. We are one. You know, as far as we're concerned, we have the struggle and the tension of living in a broken, messed up world. But as far as the Father's concerned, it's done. Yeah. We are one. We are united. We are in Christ. It's our new position as sons and daughters, you know, that we are. This is what Jesus won for us, you know, that when we're born again, we enter into this new kingdom, this new relationship, which is not about rules and regulations, but it's a heart connection. And that's what Jesus is describing for us in John chapter 14. You know, if you see me, you've seen the Father, because we're so one. And, you know, yes, the Father's in me, but he's also in you, and you're in him, because you're no longer orphans. It says in John 14, 23, you know, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. You know, where does he make his home? In our heart. Mm-hmm. Now, we know what our heart is like. You know, we know all the struggles and stuff, you know, and think, oh, does God really want to live in my heart? Yes, mm-hmm. he does. Yeah. You know, it's not just the case of we make our home in his heart, mm-hmm. but he makes his home in our heart. Yeah. And that is just so huge, I think. Hey, Barry?
Yeah, I like what Mike said when he said, I see it like a sponge in water. The water is in the sponge, and the sponge is in the water.
That's good.
It's like you just can't. I've thought of it like almost like, you know, when you put food coloring in a glass mm-hmm. of water, and it's just like once the food coloring goes in, it's indiscernible what's the food coloring and what the water is anymore. It's just absolutely together, right? So the food coloring yeah. is the water, and the water is the food coloring, and you know, I think you know that's the security. I believe that we have in Christ. You know, I know when I was a new Christian back in certainly in the 80s, late 70s, it was probably more late 70s where, you know, all of a sudden there was a lot of stuff about the end times and all this fear. There was a lot of fear and there were people who were afraid that they could lose their salvation if they, you know, they didn't pray enough or read enough. And it's just like, you know, we can just know that we can't unring that bell, that the Father has just absolutely committed his whole heart to us in Christ. And I think of John 17:23, where Jesus says, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved mm-hmm. them even as you have loved me. And I think that's what you were saying. And of course, that was the experience I had in that little moment, in, you know, in my imagination in heavenly places, where when the Father was looking at me in that shimmering, when it was me, he didn't, it was the same affection that he had for Jesus. And so I think, you know, if we are able to come into a place of resting in that and believing, daring to believe, or even if it's help, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, that the Lord would solidify something more for us than ever before, that we are indeed loved. We are in union with Jesus. And, you know, even that scripture in 1 John, where John writes, as he is, so are we in the world. Like it's the same. You know, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal bodies. And so, again, I think it's one of those things, I don't, it's like we know this, right? Yeah. We smile and nod, we know this, we've heard it for years, but like to be able to know it at such a depth of level of revelation that we are walking in that. You know, when Paul says in Colossians 3, fix your eyes on things above, not on things of the earth, to actually set our affections on things that are in the heavenly realms, right? And of course, we are still on planet Earth, and that's the mystery, you know? And that's where I think we are in Christ in heaven, and Christ is in us on earth. And it's this most beautiful thing. And the one thing that I kind of had that, you know, just a bit of a glimpse of that when I was speaking at this conference in Montreal about your kingdom come, you know, as it is in heaven, so be it on earth, you know, and this idea that we have this divine connection in heavenly places, right? The road goes both ways, right? It's like us being able to ascend into the heavenly realms, and it's like the Holy Spirit and the heavenly realms come in, you know, are a manifestation through us at the same time. So, like, to me, it's just like, man, I want to grow in this revelation. I don't want it to be old. I don't want it to be familiar to the point where I go, oh, yeah, I got that. I know that. I memorized that verse. But could we dare to believe today that the Father would want to awaken us in a deeper level? Yes. That kind of revelation, that it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a real life flow. You know, when you've got a relationship, you've got a flow of life. And yeah, it's no coincidence that John chapter 15 comes after John chapter 14. Yeah. I mean, I know that's logical, but John chapter 14, Jesus is talking about us being in him and the Father being in us, and you know, we're no longer left as orphans, you know. Mm. And he's talking about this relationship, this connection. And then John 15, of course, is the, you know, Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener, you know, and you're the branches. You know, we're connected to the vine. You know, where does the branch get its life from? From the vine, you know. Mm. The branch gets its life from the vine gets its life from the soil. And there's a flow of life that will end up being fruitful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think one of the things is when we really understand what it is to be in Christ, when we live as sons and daughters, we will bear fruit, because mm-hmm. that's what sons and daughters do. And in John chapter 15, Jesus says, you know, he says, then you will produce much fruit, abundant fruit.
Yeah.
And he also says in John 15, you will produce fruit that lasts. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we very often look at our own lives and we think, well, yeah, there's a little bit of fruit, and you know, but it's not abundant. And sometimes it kind of doesn't last very long. And this is not the promise that is for sons and daughters.
Mm.
You know, the promise for sons and daughters is that we will produce abundant fruit and lasting fruit. And it comes out of this relationship. You know, mm. it's like the branch has got no life of its own. It has to be connected to the vine. It draws life mm-hmm. up from the soil through the vine, and is capable of growing and being fruitful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe that the soil in this parable, the soil is the soil of the Father's love.
Yeah.
And it comes up, and it's, because Paul says that in Ephesians chapter 3, that we're rooted and grounded in love. We're rooted and planted in love.
Yeah.
And what does the plant do? It gets its life, it gets its energy, it gets its growth from the nutrients in the soil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it needs the sunlight and water and all that sort of stuff, but it gets a lot of energy, a lot of life from what's in the soil. You plant a plant in bad soil, mm-hmm. it doesn't grow very well.
Yeah.
You know, you put a plant in the garden, you put fertilizer, you put compost or whatever, so they tell me, you know, and you to provide a good place. And so I see in this story that the soil is the soil of the Father's love, and that's mm. the source of all of our life, all of our energy, and it comes to us through relationship.
Yeah.
It comes to us through that connection.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I think, you know, that's kind of like the starting point for what it means to be in Christ. It's mm. it's a relationship, it's a connection, it's life-giving. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 7, when he was at the on the last and great day of the feast, the festival, he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.
Yeah.
And he's talking about being satisfied, rivers of living. You know, he says, have a drink and out of you will flow a river. You know, all we do is have a drink and it becomes a river. You know, but it satisfies us. It's life-giving. Yes. And, you know, this is not about religious duty or religious performance. This is just simply about finding life and living in life. And, you know, this is not something, this is why, you know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, we cannot grasp this with our mind. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to have the eyes of our heart opened.
Right.
So that we see it with our heart. Because
mm.
the key to understanding this is not knowledge, but it's the eyes of our heart being opened.
Yeah.
So that we know who he is and we know who we are.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. I just want to read just that little passage in John 15, 2, because I just when we begin to understand that the work of God is his work,
Yeah.
It's not our work, right? And like starting at John 15, verse 8 and on, it says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." And then Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Then my love command is this: love each other as I have loved you." And, you know, when I think when we talk about fruitfulness, even, you know, when we start to be able to understand that the fruitfulness is actually the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you know, from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, you know, gentleness. And when we begin to understand that even the fruit that brings glory to the Father, he provides in the sense, because it's his fruit, it's his spirit, his life. Jesus said, "It's my joy in you so that your joy may be complete. It may be full. It may be overflowing. It may be like that stream of living water that just flows from us," right? But it's all coming from our union with Jesus. And sometimes, sometimes, like I had somebody ask me the other day about just the kind of the protocol of praying, you know, like, you know, can we, you know, do we pray to Jesus, is that okay? And I said, of course, the Godhead is completely secure in, because the Father's revealing the Son, the Son's revealing the Father, the Holy Spirit's revealing both Father and Son. It's just this glorious revelation of love. But Jesus wants us to have a relationship with our Father, and that's why he taught us the Lord's Prayer. But when we begin to understand it's in our union with Jesus, you know, when Jesus said, you know, in John 16, 25 to 27, he said, "In that day, you know, you're not going to ask me for anything. In that day, you're going to go to the Father directly." And he was speaking of the resurrection, "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believe that I came from God." And so then there's this wonderful thing about what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name, right? I know we oftentimes we end prayers that way, and I think that's all good, but that's not what it means. In Jesus' name is actually in the power of attorney of Jesus. It's actually in our union with Jesus that we come to the Father by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what it says, and I think it's Ephesians 2, that we have access to the Father by the Spirit in Christ. And so when we begin to understand it's this beautiful union that we have, and we can't unring this bell, we're secure, we're safe. The Holy Spirit is a deposit, the Bible says, a down payment, promise. I think the Passion Translation says that the Holy Spirit's the engagement ring to the the future inheritance that we have. And I just think, you know, could we today, you know, and I think when we transition to praying, you know, my heart is that would we be able to ask the Father even now to be able to see, even with the eyes of our hearts, with the imagination that he's given us, a deeper encounter with what it actually means to be in Christ.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know, that's not just a few blessings handed out for good behavior. that's every spiritual blessing. And, you know, to me, that sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot of blessing, you know, every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, what that means, and Barry's kind of touched on this already, that means all of the resources of the Father's kingdom are made available to you and me. And that list, therefore, of every spiritual blessing has to be limitless. You know, it includes his provision, his peace, his healing, his strength, his grace, the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, his love for a hurting, broken world, you know, so much more. You know, I just encourage you to let your imagination wander as you consider what it means, you know, to be included in every spiritual blessing. You know, just let your mind wander, you know, and to help us. Yeah, I mean, I always encourage people to read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, because Paul lists a few of these blessings that are ours because we're in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and just let me run through a few of these. I think in chapter one alone, there's 20 different things that are mentioned that are part of our spiritual inheritance. You know, it's the Father's making his kingdom and all of its resources available to us. So like Barry said, we can bring the kingdom of heaven to earth.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, I like simple, and to me it's like, Father, what little bit of heaven do you want me to bring to earth today?
Yeah.
That's how I see that. And, you know, Paul lists some of these blessings. You know, every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. And he just lists a few of them. So like, we're chosen. We've been made holy and blameless. We've been given all rights of sonship. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We've been shown the mystery of his will. You know, all of these things have been lavished upon us.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you kind of are struggling and thinking, well, what has God given me? What does it mean to be in Christ? What are these spiritual blessings? You know, I said this over 150 times that it's mentioned in the New Testament. Just if you want to get a glimpse of it, of what it means to be in Christ, I would read Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2. I would read those four chapters slowly and pause every time you read the words in Christ.
Yeah.
And then look at what is yours because you are in Christ. You know, take time to do that, because I think sometimes we struggle and we have this kind of, you know, we just feel the weight of the world on our shoulders, and we kind of think, well, what does it mean to be in Christ? You know, we read it, I kind of know it in my head, but what's it saying to my heart? You know, I would just encourage you to read those four chapters, Ephesians 1 and 2, Colossians 1 and 2, and just pause every time you read those words in Christ and see what it says to your heart. Because I often do that because I find it very enriching and uplifting. It puts my focus back on him rather than on me. And, you know, I think that's what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 3, that we're rooted and grounded in him. You know, that the roots of our lives go down deep. You know, I suppose I come across many people and, you know, when the storms of life come, it's like you see, their life is built on sand, not on the rock. But when we've really got a good understanding of who we are and who he is, you know, our life is built on a rock. And that's just such a solid, good foundation for us to have. So Barry,
amen to that, brother. And maybe we can, I love when you said let our imaginations kind of run wild a little bit, you know, because and again, in the experience that I had, and again, it's nothing, you know, there's not like any kind of method to it, but it was just like, I just found, just for me, it was just amazing how simple the Father has made this. It's not like, you know, we have to do something really complex. It's just, he's given us the ability to imagine, to fix our eyes, to set our affections on things above. And maybe we could just, you know, as we wrap this session up today, that we could just spend some time asking the Father to awaken us that imagination, to think even what does it actually mean to be seated in heavenly places right now. That's what it says. It's not even in one place. I mean, you look at Ephesians 2, you think of Colossians 3. I mean, just the union with Jesus is something that is absolutely, completely the core of the Christian message. So maybe I could just put the music on and just ask God to speak. And as we just ask the Father to speak by his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, to open the eyes of our hearts even now.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage you just to, even if you have a moment now, if it's appropriate, that you can just close your eyes.
Yeah.
And as the music's on, and just ask the Holy Spirit to bring a deeper revelation, even through your imagination. What does it mean to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms? What does it mean, Father? Would you show me by even my imagination, just to picture it in your mind? Just ask the Holy Spirit to show you, just being seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father right now, union with Jesus, who has union with his Father. So therefore we have union with the Father by the Spirit. So Father, would you just, by your Holy Spirit, just awaken in us the reality of the kingdom. The kingdom is within us, and the kingdom is in another realm in the heavenly places as well. And Father, I just pray even now that you would help us to see that we are not separated from Christ. There is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. And anything that would try to make us feel separated, alone, isolated, misunderstood, is an illusion. And Jesus, you said you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you are the truth, the way, and the life. And so even in this very moment, Father, no matter what we are going through in our lives, can we just picture ourselves at the eyes of our hearts, hidden in Christ with God, seated in the heavenly realms in Jesus, and even perhaps looking through Jesus' eyes, understanding that our union with Jesus is that we are in him and he is in us.
Just a few verses from Ephesians chapter 3. That we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's a lot of fullness. That we would know that this love that we're planted in surpasses knowledge. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Father, may we be filled with all the fullness of God. And even when our imagination runs out, you are able to do even more than that, even more than our wildest dreams, Father. That's the inheritance of sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus, that you said we would do even greater things. That as we know our true identity is in you, Father, would you just let life flow? Thank you, we have that connection with you, and that life can flow from you through us by the Holy Spirit, and will cause us to be fruitful. Father, may we just begin to grasp afresh what it means to be in Christ. That oneness, that unity, that flow of life. That we really truly would be like trees planted by the river. Drawing life from the river of life and bearing fruit. And the leaves would be for healing of the nations. May we be like that tree, Father, that we're so rooted in you that life would flow through us. Thank you, Father.
And just the thought that we can come there anytime we want.
Yeah.
We can boldly approach the throne of grace.
Yes.
Whenever we need help and mercy in our time of need.
Mm-hmm.
Just little kids. Now, I don't know. I can imagine that, and I have imagined it in the past. I imagine the picture of the throne room in Revelation, where you have the 24 elders crying, "Holy, holy, holy," and angels, the cherubim and the seraphim, just crying, "Holy, holy," and then here I come, this little boy running at top speed, and I just do a dive into my dad's lap, and it's like he always has time for me. Whoa, Father, would that reality just imprint in all of our hearts that we can come before your throne of grace anytime in our union with Jesus, and you love us exactly as you love Jesus.
Yeah.
Whoa. Help us to see into the unseen realm.
Yeah.
Not the temporal, but the eternal, Father.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was it worked out, eh, Mark?
Sure did. Great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yes. And we'll see you next week.
We'll be back here. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Great.
Bless you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.